This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning, listeners, to this very cold and wet Tuesday morning to Mother's Corner on K Pulpit. It is very cold and wet. Please be careful out there. The roads are dangerous. Only go out if you really need to be traveling. But right now we tuned into Mother's Corner, and this is a faith-based program where we want to encourage, uplift and strengthen our single moms through the Word of God, through prayer and honest conversation about the journey of single parenting. The show is a safe space, so wherever you find yourself, please, moms, lean in. Irrespective of your circumstances, lean in, come closer. We aim to build you up and find spiritual encouragement, practical wisdom, and the reassurance that God is with us in all and every circumstance. We reference biblical principles, and we share testimonies, and we have meaningful discussions to remind women that you are women of integrity and that your strength and hope is indeed rooted in Christ. The Mother's Corner is supported by Single Moms Raising Sons, and it's a program that specifically looks at single parenting where moms are raising sons in a godly fashion with godly values, where they find their purpose and they find meaning in the identity in Christ. So welcome to Mother's Corner, where we are rooted and rising. Our topic for today is finding strength and resilience through trauma. Finding strength and resilience through trauma. And our anchor verse this morning is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, we know this is such a beautiful verse. It's such a personal one for me. The Lord has given me this personally many years ago that carried me through very dark times, and it's been an anchor and a strength for me through very difficult times. And it's no different to our special guest this morning, where the Lord's given her this verse in a very personal way. Today we have in studio with me Kirsty Scully. Kirsty is a certified financial planner with Core Wealth Advisory Services in Durbanville. Not only is she a certified financial planner, but she's also a woman whose life story speaks powerfully about faith, loss, and the sustaining grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the tender age of 28, while pregnant with her first child, Kirsty lost her husband Paul in a tragic aircraft accident. And in one single moment, Kirsty's life changed and her world changed completely and quite dramatically. Yet, through heartbreak and uncertainty, the journey of becoming a single mother on her own, she discovered the strength of God's presence in her darkest seasons. Kirsty joins us today to share her story of being widowed while pregnant and the hope, resilience and wisdom that has grown from that deeply painful journey. Kirsty, thank you for braving this weather and for joining us in studio today.
Thank you, Barbara. Lovely to be here in the Radio Pulpit studio, I must say. It really is.
Thank you, Kirsty, and welcome.
Thank you.
Kirsty, your story carries both profound grief and remarkable resistance. Looking back as a young pregnant widow at just 28, things that you think about now looking back, what has motherhood at that stage taught you that at the time you didn't even think of?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I absolutely love the fact that you've just read that verse, Jeremiah 29:11, because I'm going to say that that is a verse that really took me through not just the months, but the years, absolutely years after I was widowed. And you're asking about strength. I think it awakened a strength in me that I probably didn't even know that I had. But wow. Even more so than that, it awakened for me a very much a deeper dependence on God, because I just realized that I could not do this on my own. This was never ever going to happen. And if I think about it, when Paul died in that aircraft accident, my life was shattered. I was finished. Oh. I was absolutely finished. But carrying my son through the pregnancy. Bear in mind, I was 10 weeks pregnant at the time. So I had a long way still to go through that pregnancy. And what it did, it reminded me that with that deep grief that I was going through, God was still at work in my life. Literally daily. He didn't give up on me. So that verse is very, very special to me. And it's a verse that gave me confidence right throughout life. It continues to give me confidence. And ultimately what I knew is that things would actually be all right in the end because of that hope that verse in fact gave us. And I think, you know, motherhood also called in me to keep going. I couldn't just give up. I had a son on the way. Once I had him, I had to make a success of whatever I was doing. So it brought out in me courage. I'm going to say it brought out in me some tenderness even and perseverance, which and I don't think I even knew those things existed in me at the time.
Yes.
But amazingly that they really did come through. And again, there was a verse that encouraged me hugely. And it's that verse that I think most of us know, that verse from Romans chapter 5, which talks about perseverance. Mm. The way perseverance builds character and character builds hope. So it so ties in with that verse from Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which I absolutely love. And it really has shown the way God's love has absolutely been poured out to all of us.
Yes.
So I believe that motherhood really awakened in me very much a sense of purpose. Mm. My son gave me that reason to kind of get up in the morning, to rebuild my life after what I'd absolutely gone through, as painful as it was. And I was constantly reminded that God had not abandoned me. And he still hasn't abandoned me. And it's given me that ability to continue motherhood through a really difficult season. Because ultimately, through all of this, what it's also done is it's given me the opportunity to share the gospel.
Amen. What an opportunity. What a privilege. How God takes a story. And we sometimes say he takes our mess and he turns it into a message. Mm. In your case, it was a loss, an incredible loss. So well done on that. We have Kirsty Scully in studio with us, and Kirsty was sharing a little bit about a story of loss and how God has carried her through. I got so excited about wanting to interview Kirsty. I didn't want to break for our music break, so please forgive me. Here we are, we're back. Kirsty, thanks for sharing with us. You spoke quite openly about the loss of your husband, Paul, and then you were forced to navigate that grief and the financial responsibility simultaneously, because suddenly you're going to carry this financial responsibility by yourself. Why do you think that women, especially single mothers, avoid conversations around planning until the crisis strikes? What are your thoughts?
Well, I see that on a regular basis, obviously, with dealing with a number of women that I do deal with. And it is definitely something very real. People don't want to go into those conversations about financial planning. And I think one of the reasons is because we are busy, and we are so busy caring for everybody else around us that we forget about looking after ourselves. And that is so absolutely vital. We're caring for our families, our homes, our work environment, that sort of thing. But we do need to have these conversations. But remembering that meeting with a financial planner is not necessarily an easy conversation. No. It can be particularly intimidating and can be particularly demanding. So it's not necessarily comfortable. But one of the reasons why it's not comfortable is because we have to go quite deep emotionally, when we come to financial planning, because we've got to start asking questions such as, what happens if something goes wrong?
Yes.
Or maybe a question like, what happens if I'm left alone? Or maybe it could be something like, what happens if my life doesn't go according to the plan that I've got for my life? So these become really painful questions to ask. And when one actually gets into these, it becomes quite difficult to know how to answer some of those. So in my own experience, I think what happens is people often think that they have got more time in their lives. You get to think, oh, but tragedy only happens to other people, or tragedy only happens to older people, or whatever it is. And I can tell you that my life taught me something very painfully, that none of us are exempt from any form of hardship.
Yes.
It can still happen to any of us. So as a Christian, I don't believe that financial planning means we need to live in fear. Far from. Not at all. I believe that it means we need to live wisely.
Yes.
Okay. And it means we need to be a good steward of what God has actually entrusted to us, and caring responsibly for the people who are close to us in our lives. So financial planning is not about having a lack of faith. Definitely not. Financial planning is really about an expression of love.
Yes.
It's about wisdom. It's about stewardship of what God has given us. So I think that, to go back to answering your question, I think that many women don't want to broach the subject. And the reason why they don't want to broach it is because it's overwhelming.
Yes.
And it's emotionally really heavy to have these discussions. But I'm going to say, don't wait. Don't wait for a crisis to force you into that conversation. In fact, I was a speaker at an event on Saturday. And I remember the way I ended the talk was basically saying, do not be the woman who needs to be rescued. Rather be the woman who is prepared.
I like that.
And having these conversations in our lives actually brings about that sense of peace of mind, that clarity that we need in our lives, and protecting the very people that we love just so much.
Amen. You speak from a position of strength. As I look at you and I listen to you, clearly there's been a journey where you've been able to build up that resilience. When this trauma, as you've had, you've had to suddenly find that balance because there's the loss and you were only a few weeks pregnant. And then there's, oh my word, financial responsibility now sits with me. It starts and ends with me. And I think to our listeners, many would probably have to think, if that were to happen to me, how would I be equipped? Am I equipped? Am I ready for that? And you need to dig deep. We spoke about digging deep and having resilience. I think we need to start exercising that muscle about digging deep and being prepared. I like that you said be prepared and not be a victim.
Well, I often laugh because people often say to me, you must be really good at numbers being a financial planner. No, I deal with people. It's not about numbers. This is about dealing with the psychology of money. Yeah,
it is indeed. Kirsty, your son Luke became what you described in your story as the light in a dark season. How did raising him as a single mom shape the woman leader and the communicator that you are today?
Well, I think it has benefited Luke, definitely, over all the years. He's 27 years of age now. So he's grown up realizing and seeing that difficult beginnings do not have to define your future.
No.
Definitely not. And he's watched me work hard. He's watched me travel extensively for business. He's watched me lead at a global level. He's watched me chair a board of a large organization. And he's watched me being able to step into that space of influence because of the experience that I've been through. And I could never have imagined that I could have done that when I was first widowed. I can definitely not imagine that I could have been able to do that. But I believe that showing him all of this sort of stuff has shown him what resilience, what discipline has done, and what faith can do, and how it can take you further than your fear. And that is why faith is just so, so absolutely important. So I think, from a first-hand perspective, what he's done is, what it's done for him is it's he's learned that things don't just happen, okay? Things, to be successful, it requires absolute consistency.
Yes.
It requires sacrifice. It requires courage. It requires that absolute willingness to continue learning throughout life, which can be difficult. When I look at him now as a young man building his own business, he's got his own business, I believe that the example which I've been able to give him has enabled him to be able to think bigger.
Yes.
To be able to work with purpose, and understand that leadership actually comes with huge responsibility. So from a faith perspective, he's seen my faith. He's seen it over all the years, and he's seen how God absolutely carries us through incredible hardship. that we do go through, and that the Lord uses this journey of our hardship to be able to open doors that we've never, ever expected to be opened. And my prayer when I look at Luke now is that he not only sees a mother who has survived this hardship, but also see a woman who has trusted God in these times of incredible difficulty, and which has allowed me to also, and that has also allowed me to use, I would say, my gifts. So probably what it's done is it has helped his courage, his confidence, and maybe even his entrepreneurial spirit that he's had. And if that is the case, I'm going to say I'm deeply grateful.
I can echo that. I'm a single mom and I've raised two, and they watch us. They're observers of what we do, not only in terms of our faith, but practically. Yeah. How we live life, how we show up, how we demonstrate leadership of self, leadership among people, and how we treat people. So just speaking, going back to Luke, can you maybe share with us a little bit about maybe his walk with the Lord? He's observed, you mentioned he observed your faith, and he's successful, no doubt. But in terms of his faith and finding Jesus and that relationship with himself, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Luke made a commitment as a child to Christ, but sadly is not as close to Christ as I would have liked to see him. But Luke has the foundation.
Yes.
And, you know, I absolutely know that God will never give up on the fact that I have given him that foundation. And I do believe he will come back closer again at a later stage.
Mm. And we pray into
yes,
that.
Yes, we do pray.
That. You know, the seed has been planted.
Absolutely.
And it's what happens beneath the surface. It's there.
Of course.
And we need to trust and it
of
will
course.
Suddenly come up.
He knows, I always say, he knows Christ. I would just like him to know Christ even closer and rely on him.
Yes, no, indeed. We're going to a short break. Thank you, Kirsty. We'll be right back.
Besoek nou ons webtuiste en maak jou bydra met Payfast.
Sorry,
jy kan ook jou bydra gee deur 'n debietorder in te vul of 'n eenmalige donasie te maak. Jy kan ook 'n bemaking uit jou testament aan Kaapse Kansel maak. Alles met die druk van 'n knoppie op www.kaapsekansel.co.za. Do you want to say hi to your favorite presenter on air? Do you want to share your opinion, join the conversation, or enter that exciting new competition? Go ahead and send that WhatsApp message to the studio to 081-729-1657. That's 081-729-1657.
Listeners, we're in studio with Kirsty Scully, and we're having a very interesting conversation about her journey. She's a certified financial planner. Kirsty, as someone who now guides families professionally through the being financially prepared, How do we shift our mindset from planning for death? And it ties in with you saying sometimes we think it's something that we need to do later, planning for death, and also protecting the people we love and finding that balance, not leaving things too late.
Mm. Well, I think one of the things to always remember that's important, in my opinion, is that it's about how we define ourselves. So, for example, I have never and I will never define myself as a single mother. And the reason why I say that, this is a very personal thing for me, but I believe that the phrase single mother carries I'm going to call it a very much a sense of limitation and a sense of victimhood, all right? And I have never, ever wanted to live from that place.
Yes.
So I would rather define myself as an independent woman. Okay. And to me, saying an independent woman, that speaks very much more of responsibility, of confidence, of strength. So it's looking at things from a different angle.
Yes.
Because I never want people to take pity on me because of the circumstances that I found myself in. Because after all, I'm an independent woman. So I don't need that sort of pity as such. But I do firmly believe, whether you're married or not married,
yes,
a man is not a financial plan. Okay. And women need to look after themselves. Mm. Women need to realize that statistically speaking, we will all actually be left on our own one day. Because yes. If you look at it, men die before women.
Yeah.
All right. So the figures actually show us that. So if I look back over my life, if I look at my faith that I've had, my faith in Christ, and if I look at the people, the very close friends who have supported me endlessly, day to day, my family, as well as obviously a lot of hard work that I've had to put into it, it has enabled me to become emotionally, physically, financially independent, all those things, that combination of all of this. And so I really believe that the sooner we recognize that we need to take responsibility for our own well-being,
yes,
the better it's going to be, the quicker it's going to be, and the more easy it is to actually make a success of things. So to answer your question, I think it's very important that we talk about financial planning, but I don't see it as planning for death.
Yes.
You asked about planning for death. I don't see it as planning for death. I see it as rather protecting the people, the very, very people that we love so much, as well as stewarding what God has in fact given to us and by stewarding the money that he has given us. It's not living a fear-based life.
Mm.
It's living a love-based life by doing that. And it's saying, really, if things change in my life, if things change unexpectedly, what is going to happen with the people that I so absolutely love? And have I protected those people that are close to me? So it's not really only about looking about what happens at death. Okay. It's in fact also about looking at what happens if I'm still alive, but something happens.
Yes.
For example, if I am too sick to work, have I got income protection? If I was to get something like a dread disease, maybe a cancer or something, have I got dread disease cover to pay to be able to support myself and therefore my family? Because I've put all of that sort of thing in place, medical aids, you can name it, you can mention so many different things. But have I implemented those sorts of things so as to look after not just me, but also my family? So it's about making sure that if life call it an unexpected turn, that you can still stand on your own two feet and you can support those very ones that you love so much.
Hmm. We could actually say it's not planning for death, it's planning for life.
Yes.
Because God gives us life abundantly.
It does.
And we need to also remember, we don't sit back and wait for life to happen. We prepare ourselves. Mm. God is a God of excellence, and he wants us to be prepared for all circumstances. And so you touched on an important point, and we'll have to have you back so that we can go even deeper about being prepared, and that we shouldn't be fearful of financial planning and think that we need to have a deeply analytical mind.
Right.
It's just an understanding, and then grow that understanding, and it's so important, and I think many women need that.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Well, honestly, Barbara, there are so many points. We could be here for days talking about this. Yes. But what I did was I actually put together 5 points, which I thought were perhaps quite important that we can perhaps go through. So hope everybody's got a pen and a piece of paper around with them, and we can perhaps chat through them. Because if you go through these points that I'm going to give you, it's going to be able to create that financial independence that I talk about the whole time, which is so, so vital. So if I think about it, firstly, let's talk about your earning power, because that's where it all starts. Okay. I mean, yes, education is phenomenally important, that you have the best education so that you can at least do the best from a job perspective. But if, for example, you are getting a new job, okay.
Yes.
The thing to do here is to negotiate that your salary starts as high as possible, because then from there you're moving up. Okay. So always remember, don't try and go into a job and then say, oh, let me negotiate. It doesn't really work like that. Start as absolutely high as possible, because that's going to be good. Maybe you're already employed. Let's have a look at that. Then you've got to have those, when you have salary discussions, have the facts and the figures with you, and go in with confidence.
Yes.
Go in showing absolute confidence, not any pity party or anything like that. Be absolutely confident. And if need be, if your salary is not sufficient, start looking for other income streams. Because if you can do this, that extra income can be helping with things like reducing for example, debt.
Yes.
You can, because if you can get rid of your debt, that is one of the biggest, it's like a mountain on your shoulders, having debt. And if we can all just get rid of debt, then it makes such a difference in our lives, because it allows us to build long-term security.
Mm. You're touching on a couple of important points here, and something I want to maybe just double-click on a little bit. There's a fear factor, or there appears to be a fear factor, where women don't negotiate hard for themselves. Mm. You said it's important to negotiate right at the outset, before you're in the job, or you're about to negotiate your position and your entry point. Before you take the position, you have that. So when we speak about identity of women, in your experience and some of the training you did with women, what comes out for you where women shy away from that hard negotiation?
I was actually recently doing a talk, in fact it was overseas, New Zealand, and I was talking to a group of women and just saying that what we observe is the fact that men will apply for a job when they're not even qualified for that job. But women will tend to say, yes, well, have I got all the qualifications? Am I the right person? Just go for it. Okay, stop that. Follow what men do for a change, and actually just bite the bullet and say, I can do it. And even if you have to learn on the job. Because let's face it, when it comes to things like leadership,
yes,
we all, those of us who have been in leadership, we didn't know about leadership before we went in. But we learnt it on the job, and that is what's made us successful. So don't think you have to know everything about, for example, how to lead a board,
yes,
or how to lead a team. Don't think you've got to know it all before you start. You will also learn when you're there. Just go for it. Yes.
I like that. Thank you. You said you had 5 points. Tell us, what's the second point?
Yes, I do. So something else that is really important is protecting. And I spoke about it a little bit earlier. Protecting yourself and protecting those loved ones around you in times of really difficult times. So you've got to ensure that you need to have the right cover in place. That's what we call risk benefits when we're talking in my profession, okay? So I'm talking about things like life cover.
Yes.
I'm talking about things like disability cover, income protection, medical aid, short-term insurance, all those sorts of things. But you know, it's quite interesting, because most of us insure our cars, we insure our homes for times of difficulty. But what we do is we so often forget to protect our income. Now, if you lose your income, say you get hit by the proverbial bus and you can't work for a number of months, or heaven help, full time you can't work, what about your income? Where are you going to get that income? So this is where income protection comes in. And I'm going to say that I think the most important cover that we should have, other than a medical aid, is income protection. Because income protection, if you don't have an income, how will you manage anything else? So that for me is probably the most important thing.
And I would agree. And even more so for single mothers. Even more so for single mothers.
Mm.
If you don't have that income, then what? You know, it can be pretty daunting and overwhelming.
Mm.
And please lead us into your third point. I think people are probably sitting with pen and paper, and I hope they're taking this down, because it's incredible.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I love talking about saving. Because if we get into that habit of saving consistently, we will succeed. All right. So things like retirement savings. I mean, that's probably the most common thing that we need to save for. We need to make that a priority. We live in a country where I can tell you that the grant government gives you $2,500 or whatever exactly it is, we can't manage that. That is absolutely ridiculous. So you've got to do it for yourself. All right. You've got to be prepared to make it a priority when you start saving. And of course, things like compound interest, we know it as the eighth wonder of the world. We talk about that. It's there for a very good reason, because the more you start to save, the more it's going to grow. And in fact, the statistics are that if you are the age of 25 and you start with saving 15% of your income every single month, until you are about 60 years of age, you'll be able to retire with about 80% of your final salary.
That's incredible.
But the problem is, how many of us start at the age of 25 with 15%? In fact, majority of people don't even save 15% when they're 40 years old, let alone when they're 25. Yeah. And so the later you leave it, the more difficult it is going to be. So retirement savings, vital. There's many other savings you can have. It could be for children's tertiary education. It could be towards putting down a bond, a deposit on a bond or home loan or whatever the case is. I was just speaking really mainly then about retirement savings. But something else that I think is absolutely invaluable is to have an emergency fund.
Yes.
And because when something goes wrong, when the fridge packs up, or when you get your tire gets ripped for whatever reason on a pothole that you drive through, you need to have enough savings to pay for that in your emergency fund.
Yes.
And people often say to me, how much money should I have in an emergency fund? Well, financial planners tend to say between 3 and 6 months, but everybody's different. And if you look at it, people have more gadgets in their home. For example, if you've got a pool pump, if you've got an electric fence, if you've got all those sorts of things, the more technical things you have like that, the higher your emergency fund, in fact, needs to be, because there's more, the more things that can go wrong as such.
Yes.
So make your own decision as to how much you should have in your emergency fund. But we always suggest at least, I'm going to say, 3 to 6 months worth of income. And that money needs to be highly accessible, and perhaps in a money market, so that you can get to it literally within a day. Okay, that mustn't be something, it mustn't be something in a unit trust, which is, you know, ideally a long-term investment. It needs to be something highly accessible so that you can get to it as soon as that emergency has actually arisen.
So timing is definitely of the essence, because with everything you mentioned, there's a time factor that we cannot ignore. And I think we need to be educating our young people early, our young ladies, young single mothers early, that start, even if it's in small measure and it's not 25%, start somewhere.
Correct.
Because then you're conditioning them into a certain way of behaving and a way of showing up.
Yes.
And the compound interest, of course, it's a powerful, powerful concept.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people know about that. Kirsty, tell us about your fourth pearls of wisdom, please.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Thank you.
So what I think about here is using the right investment vehicle. Now, a lot of people think, oh, when they think about savings, what they do, they think, oh, let me put my money away in a bank account.
Mm.
I'm going to say that that is not the ideal investment vehicle when you're talking long term. When you're saving for retirement, or when you're saving for something that's going to be maybe 4 or 5 years away, or when you're saving for your child's tertiary education, as an example, you do not use a bank account. Why? Because remember, for those of us who are under the age of 65, once you've earned more than 23,800 rand in interest every year, you've got to pay tax on it.
Mm.
So you need to find an investment vehicle where the interest portion is kept under the threshold, but you have capital growth on the investment. And so when you are saving for something like a retirement, you should be using, either through your work, a pension fund, maybe a provident fund, or you should be using a retirement annuity. Okay, because a retirement annuity or a pension fund is going to give you that ability to get a tax deduction on the money.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not only about the amount that you actually invest, it's about the fact that you'll pay less tax, and therefore that can go into your retirement savings. So that's because you use the correct vehicle for retirement savings. And remember, when you put money away for retirement, what's it for? Retirement.
For retirement.
Exactly. Not for anything else.
Exactly.
Not like,
do not tap into it.
Let me tap into it for this, then the other. I want to pay my bond or for whatever the case is. No, it is specifically there for retirement. And that is non-negotiable. Mm. Absolutely non-negotiable. Even with this new two-pot system, where yes, you can get to a tiny bit of it, I don't want to encourage you to do that at all. I want to say, remember that retirement savings is for precisely that. So when it comes to retirement, using the correct retirement vehicle. When it comes to using something like a tax-free savings account, remember, a tax-free savings account is ideal for you to invest in for as absolutely long as possible. In fact, use it as a supplement to your retirement savings.
Yes.
And I can go into a whole discussion about
that. Sure you can.
We're not going to do that right now.
Yes, and you mentioned thresholds that we'll speak about another time. I'm watching our time. Can you quickly run us through the loss? Because I think the advice we get and take is so important in terms of how we plan.
Yeah. Well, it's about getting the right advice. And here I'm going to say that you should be using a professional Not somebody who just finished school and said, oh, I'm going to sell life insurance. No, no, no. Use a professional. You can use a professional member of the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa. But I do recommend that you use a certified financial planner, because that is the highest qualification. It's the highest designation that we get specifically in financial planning. And it is an international qualification. It means that they've got a postgraduate diploma in financial planning. First, it means that they've kept up with all the education requirements, they've kept up with the continuing education requirements, and they adhere to the ethics requirements of a certified financial planner, which, as I say, is an international qualification. So I do highly recommend, if people are looking for advice, find a certified financial planner who can give you that advice.
Thank you, Kirsty. We're going to go into closing, and I really want to make time for prayer. I think it's very important. So in closing reflections, Kirsty, with all that you've been through in life, loss, motherhood, rebuilding, finding purpose, what does security mean for you?
Yeah. Well, I guess security means different things for different people. So, but I believe that mothers, or let's say women in particular, need to start speaking more honestly.
Yes.
Okay, it starts with that. More honestly about loss, about vulnerability, about being prepared. And, you know, we often feel that we need to be strong at all times. But that is not the case. We do not need to, because being vulnerable is not a weakness at all. It's actually a part of life. So there's various aspects. Where can we feel secure in life? If I think about our homes, we need to learn to speak to our families, to our children, about having those financial planning conversations, about where is your will? What have you done? Is your will up to date? For example, what cover have you got in place? How much are you saving? Are you putting things in place for that? And then there's also other things to consider, maybe even within our churches. We need to have honest conversations about grief, okay, and about allowing women to say, I'm actually not okay, all right, and without the shame that goes with that. And then just from a community perspective, we need to be able to encourage women to have confidence, to have that emotional confidence, to have confidence financially as well. And I really believe that through trusting God and through planning wisely, we can live our lives where we prepare well, not through fear, but rather through stewardship, through love, and again, through protecting those that we love and we care the most about.
Love it. Thank you so much. Because, see, there's so much you shared with us this morning that I'm sure we can go deeper, but it gives people hope, and it tells us that there can be a plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, you set up yourself for failure, and there's nothing wrong in being vulnerable and asking for help and getting the right advice. So thank you for that. Would you close for us in prayer, please?
I'd love to, but Barbara, that'll be lovely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Lord, I just bring this time to us, and I just think of all mothers, and I would like to lift them all, each and every one of them, up to you. Those who are carrying that incredible financial burden, emotional burden, and spiritual weight of homes, of households, on their lives. And I especially pray for those women out there who have perhaps been let down by the fathers of their children. But I ask that we will be able to open our eyes to the burden that those women face, and help us to care. Yes. You tell us to care for widows, to care for orphans. And I just pray that you'll help us to be able to do that. Give those women strength. I pray that you'll give them wisdom. I pray that you give them the absolute courage that they need in their lives, and that they will start to trust you, and trust you just incredibly deeply, to work hard, to grow in confidence, and to know that with you at their side, they can take responsibility for their families, and you will give them that absolute perseverance that they need. Not to just rely on others or themselves, but to be able to rely on you. So, Lord, please surround them with your sense of peace, the way you provide for their needs, and remind them that through Christ, they are never, ever alone. I thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kirsty. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Be blessed. Stay rooted and rising until next week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.